102, 97.5, The Fanatic, Andrew Salchunas. Taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic. The bro out sick today. He'll be back, obviously, Monday with the morning show, but he'll be back next Saturday as well. Tyler Zuli producing the program today. Tyler, forgive me. I must have not seen anything, but Will Middlebrooks just put out a tweet saying, okay, let me get this straight. MLB will punish players who throw at Astros players for cheating, but refuse to punish players for cheating. Got it. I believe we got this bass ackwards here. I see what he did there. Did the MLB put out some sort of rule?
I didn't see anything, but I'll take a look for you.
We don't have to, because I just looked and I didn't see anything.
If they are really going to target pitchers who throw at the Astros players,
we got
a
problem.
And allow Astros players to play this season, we have a problem.
Yeah, we got a problem.
If they don't do anything, then there's no issue, because I don't think that they can wide scope an entire team and wipe them out. You know, like suspend everybody on the Astros. But if guys are getting suspended for throwing at Astros players,
there's gonna be a lot of players.
Yeah,
because Ross Stripling was pretty open about it yesterday. Ross Stripling, of course, of the Dodgers, was asked about whether or not he would throw at an Astros player because he was around the 2017 World Series. He lost. And he said, yeah, I'd probably lean toward yes. And he was not like, we'll see. No, he was like, yeah, probably. And I'm like, all right, good. Good. Like, I put out a tweet jokingly like a month ago when this stuff really started coming out about whether or not the Astros will break the record for most times hit by a pitch this season. And I said it jokingly, but at the same time, I was kind of real about it.
It's very possible.
Because,
I mean, especially Altuve for sure.
Who were adamant about, oh, we didn't cheat. Now, they finally apologized, but they all sounded like robots. Like, none of them were sincere.
No, not at all.
They all apologized, and they're all written apologies. Alex Bregman, did you see, during his press conference, he was at a podium, and he wasn't in front of his locker. He was at his podium, and a piece of paper flew off. Like, it was a windy day, and I guess he had some written statement that there was no way in hell that he wrote that. Some PR person definitely did. And the wind blew and the piece of paper flew off. And now, credit to him, he still continued to talk about it. So, like, he kept on going, so I'm sure he practiced a few times. But then you see somebody, like, in the camera, like, putting the piece of paper back onto the podium, because I'm sure it was a written statement.
Well, Mark said it really well yesterday. If you're in the media and the business of PR, just look at what's going on right now and do the exact opposite.
Yeah. Yes.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Don't cheat. Don't steal signs with electronic devices and all that kind of nonsense.
McPhail said it yesterday in his presser. He said he would not be opposed to the league putting some kind of, you know, first pitch, doors are locked. And until in your video rooms. Until last
pitch.
It's
not a bad idea.
5 minutes before, 5 minutes after.
It's not a bad idea.
He said he's not going to be the only team that does it, but if the MLB starts considering it, he would be all for it.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I mean, there's going to be ways. They got to figure this out, because I'm sure, here's the thing, I'm sure the Astros weren't the only team. I'm going to say that. Like, I have a feeling that other teams were doing something like this. They got caught because they also had a player who spoke out about it. But this had been going on for a few years. Like, how many stories did you read that said, yeah, we sort of already started talking to the league about this and they never really did anything until Friars finally came out like on social media and was like, yeah, like this is happening.
Well, and I'm curious about your thoughts on this. If you're the Boston Red Sox, because you've also been penalized, but no one's talking about the Boston Red Sox.
No.
You've got to be thanking everything you possibly can that the Astros are taking the fire for this one.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is because they won. And I know the Red Sox won in 18, but there's video, there's don't rip off my jersey, like that kind of stuff. And the strong denial from these players. Like, it was, no, we didn't cheat. What are you talking about? And I guess, obviously, Jose Altuve wasn't going to say, yeah, he's right, we cheated. Like, obviously, they're going to say no, but I think that's part of it. I think it's the strong denial from those players. It's the crazy evidence that we saw that we go, wow, are you guys serious? The banging of the trash cans and whatnot? I think that's probably part of it. And because they're the ones that were ultimately really caught. They were caught first. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Talk to Brian in Cream Ridge. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Brian?
Good. Yeah, nothing much. I got a little hoarse voice because I was at the Clippers game still recovering from all the cheering. So,
wow, but, so you're, what's that, 5 days now? You're still hoarse? It's good work, buddy.
Yeah, I'm not a quiet person, so, you know, it's hard to recover from when you really work it up.
That was a great game, man. You had a great game that you went to, man.
I went with my dad and my nephew for a Father's Day present, and, man, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal.
That's awesome.
So you know who would beam people, right, is 2010 Cole Hamels. He'd rock a couple of them, I guarantee.
Yeah, remember when he threw at Bryce Harper? The welcome to the league. Now, Bryce Harper ultimately scored. No, nobody remembers that. Nobody talks about how Bryce Harper ultimately scored after getting hit by that pitch. But I get what he was doing, and I liked it.
Yeah, me too. So with my complaints, and let me say this, I'm not that unhappy with any of the teams. I mean, I think the Phillies is kind of a very sad situation at this point.
Yeah.
But I want to just bring a little topic. Does everybody remember when KD went to Golden State Warriors? And how did that work out initially, right, with the mixing of a legit – I mean, if you look at that time, he was definitely the number two best player in the league, right?
Oh, KD? Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant,
I thought you said KG. I was like, when did Garnett go to the
Warriors? Oh, no, KD,
yeah. Okay,
right?
Go ahead. Yeah.
They had trouble mixing up. So my complaint would be actually to 76ers, and this happened to me at the game, is the over-booing of fans, and they pay too much attention to social media, and they don't know what they're booing at. So I get to the game, and I'm sitting there with my nephew and my dad. My nephew's going, who is booing Ben Simmons? And I'm looking around going, I don't know, but it's really loud. And so I look behind me, and I go, what is this girl booing? And I looked, and I kind of gave her like that stank eye, and I was like, what are you booing Ben Simmons for? This guy's working like crazy. Do you not understand the game, what goes on? Do you not see him running up and down the field, hustling? And she booed him a couple more times. So that would be my complaint about the Sixers.
So it's more so the fans. It's not even the players. It's the fans. All right.
It's the overreaction. If I was going to boo one thing or be upset about one thing for the Sixers, it'd be Brett Brown's adjustment speed. He's had full access to try things out this year. And in my opinion, I don't know about you, but I feel like when you're like telling everybody, well, we're going to make all these adjustments, try these things, and then you're real slow to make adjustments, I think that would be the biggest complaint.
Well, yeah, my biggest problem was he literally told us, like he said it in a press conference. He asked us to please be patient and give him until the calendar year turned to 2020. And as the days went on in 2020, it seemed like they lost even more of their identity. Like, they were almost better at the beginning of the season, and it didn't help that they went on that 4-game road losing streak where they lost to the Hawks, they lost to the Celtics, the Bucks, and the Heat. Now, they end up coming back and winning against the Clippers, and that's why Anthony earlier in the week was doing the show on whether or not you'd go clean slate after the All-Star break, because he's got a totally new rotation to work with a totally new, not totally new roster, but two players that are going to make impacts. And I get that's why, you know, I agree with Anthony. I can go clean slate at this point, but I hear what you're saying about Brett Brown, because he asked us to be patient and he didn't deliver.
Absolutely. And I agree with the clean slate, because this is what I've been waiting for. And I think this is what it has been all about. So this is a whole new season for him at the All-Star break, a whole new season. So, and then real quick with my Eagles and Phillies, it's very similar, my dislike. It's scouting and development. Why can't we get better scouting and development in both places? Like, can we not develop a player that we draft from the Eagles other than Carson Wentz, who's already good, who we thought were like, do we need to bring back some of these, what was it, DeFilippo and some of these guys that work with Carson Wentz, because he's regressing, because no one's developing?
I don't think he's regressing. I appreciate the call. It is kind of like historic how bad the Phillies have drafted, how the Eagles have drafted. Like, it's crazy. I gotta think it's a story. I mean, look at the Phillies and their lack of development when it comes to pitching. All right, you go Aaron Nola, you go Cole Hamels, and then you're like, then what? Like, recently, right? You had nothing. We hope it's Spencer Howard, because you read the scouting report of how he's a hard throwing right hander and has other good secondary stuff. We hope. We're not going to see it until probably midway through the season, 2020, if they do call him up, which I'm sure they will. The Eagles thing, I agree. I don't think Carson Wentz is regressing. He's not regressing. It's not his fault that he has no talent around him. He's not regressing because Alshon Jeffrey doesn't want to play. He's not regressing because Nelson Agholor doesn't want to play. Quite frankly, he played better the last 4 weeks. He didn't regress the last 4 weeks when it was Greg Ward and Deontay Burnett. He didn't regress when Zach Ertz was out. Dallas Goedert had one of his best games of his career. He didn't regress. So, you know, I can't really, I can't say that Carson Wentz is regressing, but I also do agree with Brian that the scouting and development of the Eagles as well, we always talk about how bad of a drafting team they are. Now, they hit on a few picks this year, it looks like. Miles Sanders, Andre Dillard. It looks like they hit on a few picks this year. They've hit on a few picks in recent years, but a few isn't enough. A few is not enough to become a championship team or a team that you can, that can, you can say is a contender every single year. A few draft picks, and you have 10 this year. I want to see you hit on more than a few this year. 610-632-0975. Now, I brought it up to Brian, and we'll get back to the phones in a second. We did the show on 2 days ago, so Thursday. And Anthony asked whether or not you could hit the reset button. The reset button of the first 54 games of the Sixers season. They've played 55, and that 55th game was the Clippers game Tuesday night. And he asked if you could hit the reset button the first 54 games with all the angst that we have felt this year with this team, with all the anger that you have felt toward Brett Brown, toward Joel Embiid's conditioning, toward Ben Simmons not having a jump shot. Can you go completely clean slate? Second half of the season. What's that? 27 games left. Can you go clean slate? I'm going to ask you, Tyler. Can you forget about all the angst? And there's a lot, right? Like, quite frankly, even though they have an above 500 record, there's more angst than it seemed like positive signs from the first 55 games, first 54 games. But I also get where Anthony's coming from, because Game 55, which is the one game you're not washing away, was the first time you had your full complement of players. It was the first time we saw Al Horford coming off the bench. We all thought it was going to be after the All-Star break, right? Like, we all thought that Brett Brown wasn't going to make this major change until after the All-Star break. Let some guys cool down a little bit. You got like 8 days. No, he did it before. He did the last game before the break. And it looked good. Granted, it was at home. It wasn't a road game, and we all want to see them do it on the road. But can you go clean slate to start this unofficial second half?
I can't. I can't go totally clean slate. And, you know, using game 55 as the example is pretty fair, because you are correct. And Anthony is correct in saying that, you know, it's the first time they've had the full complement of the roster. This is the probably the deepest iteration of the roster they've had since the Brett Brown era began. But I think that it would be a little bit blinding if we were to just totally wipe out everything that if we were going to eliminate the fact that they got blown out by the Miami Heat, that they lost in Atlanta, that they lost in Orlando, that they blew a game to the Utah Jazz, that they blew a game to the Denver Nuggets.
But again, without the players that you have now,
yeah,
without the rotation that you have now, like, Hal Neto's not going to get minutes right anymore. We're not going to do this whole where's Trey Burke anymore, because he's not even on the team anymore. Like, Al Horford is going to be the backup five.
So the only thing that I can't allow to happen is like the dilution of our thought process that this team is now perfect. So we all know
they're not.
We all know, at least we should know, the flaws of this team. We know the strengths of this team.
Yes.
If I start to say we're going to take it from game 55 and there was nothing but positives to take out of game 55, I am going to start losing sight of what the Sixers don't do well, and when they lose that next game, because they're going to lose a game,
yeah, in the next 27.
The Bucks, or no, I shouldn't say the Bucks, to the Knicks or the Hawks or the Cavaliers, because it's just going to happen. Are we going to go crazy again and forget game 55 like we're trying to forget games 1 through 54?
That's a good question, but I mean, here's the thing. I sort of forgot about the 3-1 against the Celtics after they lost that game 4. Right? Like, I used to always say, at least I saw them play well against these teams that they're ultimately going to face in the playoffs. That all got washed away when they went on that 4-game losing streak. And that was when Joel Embiid was back, right? Like, Simmons was there, Embiid was there. Josh Richardson was hurt, which was a big deal. We've seen how much Josh Richardson has impacted in a positive way on the court. So I think that was a big deal, having that injury. But you still had your two best players. You had Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and they went on that 4-game losing streak, and they looked bad. It wasn't like The Bucks game, they played okay. Like, they were in it, but that was when Embiid had the terrible shooting night. It took 10 threes. Like, it was ugly. But at least they're in it. The other three, they got blown out by the Heat. They got blown out by the Celtics, and they lost to the Hawks. So I hear what you're saying, because I also kind of washed away the, oh, well, at least they were 3-1 against the Celtics. No, that fourth game, that loss kind of washed away the 3-0 for me, because the Celtics had been playing better and the Sixers looked like they were going on a downward spiral. But they looked a little better against the Clippers with their full complement. And that's why I am willing to sort of clean slate. But I get what you're saying. Like, okay, the first time they lose, are we going to lose our minds again? Probably, because that's what we're good at. We're good at losing our minds. But over the next 27, if you give me a 20-7 record or a 19-8 record, that should be able to get you up to the 4-3 seed, right?
Well, and that's kind of what I want to ask you is, do you believe that if the Sixers go 20-7, that would give them, what, 54 wins?
Yes.
So the 34-21, I believe the 34-21 right now. So that would give them 54 wins. If they go 20-7 with the schedule that they have, do you believe that the Miami Heat can go no better than 18-9
in
the schedule that they have?
That's a good question, because you said the Heat have an easy schedule, too.
And they have a game and a half lead on the Sixers. Right. And if that's the case, if the Sixers go 20-7, what would the Celtics need to go? Like 15-12?
Yeah, Celtics are 38-16. They're 4.5 games ahead of them.
They have to go 15-12. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Sixers finish as the fifth seed if they play very well. And maybe that's just, you know, Sixers goggles. Like, okay, the Heat are bound to fall off a little bit. Celtics are bound to fall off a little bit. If the Sixers go 20-7, I'm kind of confident that they finish as a 4 or 3 seed. But I get what you're saying. Like, that's the smart way of looking at it. But if they go 20-7... and they still finish as the fifth seed, aren't you still feeling good going into the playoffs? Like, wow, they went in pretty hot.
Yeah, if they go 20-7 and they finish with 54 wins and they're the five seed, I have to look at it and say that the East is just really good.
And that means they won road games.
Right.
If they have 20-7, that means they won on the road.
Yeah, so they have 19 games of their 27 versus teams that are under 500.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are certain games that are against playoff teams, because I think they have one more against Orlando, one more against Detroit, and one more against Brooklyn.
Okay.
And they are all three teams fighting for playoff spots, but they are under 500.
Yeah, but you should still beat
them.
You
should beat those teams.
Like, that shouldn't even be... You should beat those teams.
It's going to come down to the game against the Bucks, right, the game against the Raptors. You know, those games are going to be what's going to...
The Pacers game, because the Pacers are right behind you. They're just two games back.
It's gonna be what makes the difference.
20-7. That would make me pretty happy. Let's go to Alex in Hamilton. Alex, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Alex?
Hey, I just want to talk about the Sixers, man. I mean, look, I don't have any anger towards the Sixers. I mean, the Sixers, they're a growing team. Like, I get
okay.
it. You know? But I think most of my anger really goes to the fans. I mean, I think people just got to be patient and ride with the team.
That's surprising. That's two callers in a row now. Brian and Cream Ridge and now you, Alex, that it's back-to-back callers that are more angry with the fans than the team itself.
I mean, you're either ride or die. I mean, Ben Simmons said it last year. He was like, stay on that side. I mean, stay on that side, man. Like, why are you
I get
playing?
I get being frustrated, Alex. Like, and I kind of agree with you, right? Like, I think it's... I don't think it was... I don't think it was out of line for the fans to boo Joel Embiid and to boo Ben Simmons at certain points, because you're booing your stars to make an example, blah, 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 right? Like, that goes with any, it's not just Philadelphia, that's any sports city, that's any sports town. When it comes to their star players, if they're not playing to the level that we want them to, people are going to vent and people are going to boo and people are going to complain. But I'm still just surprised that it's two callers in a row are now putting more onus on the fans than the team.
I mean, you got to back the team up, man. But look, it's a long season. We got some fragile players. Like, look at Joel Embiid. You think he's going to make it the whole season if he's going ham in the paint? I mean, I have faith that give him a little bit more time. I mean, once we're a playoff team, man. If
Yep.
If we won that game seven against Toronto, we'd be 2019 NBA champions.
And it would be a good chance, yeah, because I think they matched up well against the Bucks last year. And then if they win that series, you saw how banged up the Warriors were. You're probably right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, man, I think we just got to stay patient. I mean, they're doing their thing right now. I mean, they're doing it. Just they got to grow a little bit. Ben Simmons is good. I mean, I didn't like that he came out and called the team soft, and then he spent the next day in Miami.
Yeah, that's kind of a bad look.
Like, dude, I mean, you had an opportunity right then and there to continue to be a leader. You talk the talk, now walk the walk.
Exactly.
Like, finish it, you know? Like, and then after that, I think he lost some respect from his teammates a little bit. Like, he can't be the leader right now. Like,
all right, so let me ask you something, because you are asking the Sixers fan base to be more patient. Are you saying more patient as in, like, years to come, or more patient just this season? Like, if they lose in the second round again this year, are you still going to say be patient?
These guys are under 25 years old.
No, I'm asking you, like, yeah, well, Joel's 25, Ben Simmons is 23. So are you going to say, if they lose in the second round again, 3 years in a row, where we had championship expectations, I don't know, what were your expectations coming into the season, Alex?
Let me break it down like this. I had season tickets for the past 2 years, and okay, I didn't take them this year. Just because, like, you know, we lost a lot of important players, and I don't know. I mean, I have faith, don't get me wrong, but it's, you know, as we're going into the season, I mean, I guess I'm saying just be patient for the playoffs. I think we're a playoff team. I mean, we're not a regular season team right now, because they know how good they are. They
right.
They
but if they lose in round two because they didn't have home court advantage, right? And you know, they lose early and everybody had championship expectations, and it's because they didn't play well in the regular season at points, are you going to start losing some patience? I'm asking, like, are you one of those, to me personally, if Brett Brown can't get this team to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think he's got to go.
Yeah, I think he's got to go too. I mean, look at the rotations right now. I mean, I'm not going to lie. We keep talking about we need shooters. You got that guy, Mario Šajić. I think that guy's pretty good. I think that guy can shoot. I mean, you got Milton. That guy can shoot. I mean, give him
some
minutes.
Yeah, nah. See, those guys aren't going to play the rest of the season, Alex. I appreciate the call. You're going to really, really shorten the rotation, and you're not going to put in guys who are green, right? Like, Mariel Šajić, has he played a minute yet? Like, you're not going to put him in for a playoff push. Shake Milton, nice little player, but does Shake Milton really make you feel like he's this superstar?
Yeah, with Burks and Robinson, I don't know if he gets any run in the playoffs.
He's going to wave the towel. No, playoffs, no way. Not even close. But I'm saying, like, even these next 27 games, unless it's a blowout pro Sixers or the other team's blowing out the Sixers, he's not going to get any run.
Because you got to figure, you go the big five, whether Horford starts or is off the bench, those five guys.
Yes.
Furkan, Thybul, Scott, Burks, Robinson.
And if
that's
Scott,
10 right there.
And if Scott doesn't play,
you might go 9.
Listen, I'll talk about a text that I sent you and a couple other people in October.
Long time ago.
At another time, about the Mike Scott Hive and how we have to be a little more critical. 610-632-0975. So here's the deal. Alex and Brian both said something fascinating, and I want to get into this on the other side and for the rest of the show with you. 610-632-0975. They are putting more blame on the fans right now. They are, well, not blame. They are more angry with the fans right now than the Sixers themselves. They are more angry with the fans for the booing and for the social media and for the trying to split the two players apart. And I agree with the whole trying to split Ben and Joel. Like, I think it's kind of ridiculous. The booing, I think, was warranted. But are you more angry with your fellow Sixers fans? As our last two callers, I didn't even ask the question. The last two callers, they brought it up themselves. Brian and Alex. Are you with Brian and Alex? That you're more angry with the Sixers or the fans and the Sixers themselves? Let's talk about that. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking until noon right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, so the last two callers of the show have just said something that, like, I'm fascinated by it. We're now starting war with our own, and it's not the players. We're blaming the fans, is what the last two callers did. Or they're not blaming the fans. They're not blaming the fans for the team struggling at points. The question that I started the show with is, what's making you angry most right now in Philadelphia sports? Because yesterday was Valentine's Day, the fake holiday. Yesterday was the day of love. You should just love everybody every day, whatever. Yesterday was Valentine's Day, so fill with joy and happiness. Today is the day after, so let's get back to anger. So I asked the question, what's making you angriest right now in Philadelphia sports? And the last two callers, back to back, said it's the fans. They are angrier with the Sixers fans that are booing on a given night than anything else. Angrier than Andy McPhail talking yesterday about, oh, we'll go into the luxury tax. No, you won't. You lying sack of, you know what? Angrier than Howie Roseman missing on draft picks. Angrier than, I don't know, you name it. They're angrier with the fans than anything else. That fascinates me. So I wonder, are other people sort of like annoyed with your own people that are inside the Wells Fargo Center or that are on Twitter? And I get it, Twitter's a cesspool. It's a terrible place to be on. And I hate half the people on Twitter as well. So I get where that person's coming from. So I don't know. I was kind of surprised hearing that. I want to talk about that a little bit more. I want to dive into that. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Tony in Cherry Hill. Tony on 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, Tony?
So, I want to start out. Look, them last two callers are on drugs. I'm 100% sure of it.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with the fans.
Okay.
Like, 100%. We don't have good players. We have a horrible coach. Ben Simmons can't shoot. Ship them out. Let's get picks. Okay. Let's get, like,
now, this is when I agree with the last two callers.
All right. Embiid, he's out of shape. He always gets hurt. He cusses out the fans, okay. And he's a crybaby. Got to ship him out.
Okay.
Got it. You have to. You got to get something in return.
Okay.
Al Horford, he's so old, he sat behind Jesus in third grade, bro. I'm serious. This team is so bad. We got to ship everybody out and the coach, too, brother.
Okay. So.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for wasting my time. I heard his buddy laughing in the background. Don't want
everybody's bad. The city's bad. You know, our country's bad. World's bad.
I don't know how serious that call was.
Galaxy's bad.
I don't know how serious that call was. But if that is actually how you truly believe, don't watch anymore. You know, you're wasting your own time because you literally have no idea what you're watching. No, to everything he said. Yeah, you know, Al Horford is kind of old. And hopefully they figure out the new role with him coming off the bench. Ship out Simmons and Embiid. Not one of the two. This is a whole new level. This is ship out both of them. And let's rebuild again. Let's go through another process, Tyler. You ready for that?
Yeah, you know what I think I am. While you're at it, trade Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson.
No, he likes those. He didn't call them out. It was Simmons and Embiid. I wasted so much time on this already. Let's go to David in Westchester. David, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
What's up, Dave?
You know, what makes me mad on this day after Valentine's Day is all of the, this is a young team, we can wait, they can get better. And my example against it is, if you take Boston, who has younger players, Brown was taken the same year as Simmons, Tatum was taken years after, and those guys have improved their game so much, working so hard in the offseason, and you see them come out every single game with just defensive prowess, and then we say, well, Embiid's young and Simmons is young, and I think you're right. Maybe Simmons doesn't have a shot, but he does enough, and he works so hard on defense, I think it's okay. But Embiid is just lazy out there, and saying that he's young is a terrible excuse when you look around the league and look at other young players.
I don't think anybody's saying the excuse of Embiid being lazy is that he's young. Like, I don't think anybody's saying that. I think people are saying that the whole young thing is, hey, listen, you look at some of the champion some of the best players in the league's history. They don't really start winning until they turn to the age of 27 because they've been in the league for a couple of years. They're on their second contracts at that point. Whereas there's only been a few young stars that have won, and that's like guys like Kawhi Leonard, who were on the Spurs with three future Hall of Famers on the team with them. That was Magic Johnson playing with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at the time, who was already a veteran in this league. So I think that's why people say they're young and use that excuse.
They're just still not, I don't see the effort every night, especially on defense. And I mean, Embiid's huge. And Simmons' defense, at least, is great. But if you take them and Tyvel...
But let me ask you something, David. What if they do show the effort that you're looking for come playoff time? Because we've seen them show the effort against really big games, against teams like the Clippers, the Lakers, the Bucks. And I know that they lost the second game of the Bucks, but they won the first one here in Philadelphia. They're 3-1 against the Celtics. You brought up the Celtics. The Sixers are 3-1 against them this year.
They are. One of those games was without Embiid. Right, which, and I think they played differently without Embiid, which actually I think is a good thing, to tell you the truth. And to say that, and two of those were at home, so their home defense is great. If they showed the same,
yeah, they went at home, and they won one in Boston.
If they're
3-1, so if we're going a 7-game series, they're one win away from moving on, Sixers or Celtics.
And during those games with the Celtics, now again, this is just one team. I'm just talking about their effort on the road is just not there. Where you're right, and the Celtics have only had.
I don't think it's an effort thing on the road. I think they just don't play well on the road. I don't think it's an effort thing. Some nights, I get it, David. There's some nights where it looks like they're going through the motions against teams like the Hawks, and that's why the Hawks beat them, right? Like, and I get it.
What's their defensive rating? Where are they ranked in defense?
All right, let's take a look. They're top 10.
They should be top 5.
Okay. All right, I'll get that for you.
Don't get me wrong. Orlando right now is top one, and they're a terrible team.
Yeah, they stink.
But that's also because the other teams can stop playing by the third quarter.
All right, defensive ratings. They're fourth.
And I wonder if you break that down home and away.
Okay, you got to give me some time. So I appreciate the call, David. I get it. You don't like the way they play on the road. They're 9-19 on the road. They're 9-19 on the road. Needs to get better if you want to move up in the standings. I don't think it's an effort thing. Needs to move up. That you got to improve that record, especially once you get into the playoffs, because you're going to have to play games on the road to win series. All right? I get it. Sixers, so he wants them to be top 5. They are. They're fourth. It's pretty damn good. The Celtics, who we talked about, are third. They're there. Sixers are also 3-1 against the Celtics this year. I think the Sixers beat the Celtics in a 7-game series.
By the way, the five main guys for the Sixers, in terms of win share defensive ratings, all within the top 33.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Joel Embiid's 5. Josh Richardson's 9.
But he doesn't have any effort.
He's 19. Yeah, right. So Embiid's 5. Richardson's 19. Tobias Harris is 20. Al Horford is 22. And Ben Simmons is 33.
And before people say, oh my God, Ben Simmons is 33, we always talk about how elite of a defender he is. He's also the one guarding the best players on the other team. So that's why he's 33, is because he has the tough task of guarding Kawhi Leonard. What was the number? 65 possessions that we've talked about. He guarded Paul George at times. Paul George did nothing on Tuesday. Yeah, the Sixers are a pretty good defensive team. The effort is I hate the effort thing. I get it. They go through the motions at times. Come playoff time, those motions, they're not just going to go through the motions come playoff time. They're going to go a little harder come playoff time. We should all expect that. If they don't, we got a bigger problem. Listen, this team is good, and we haven't really seen them at their full potential yet. And just I say look out when they do. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, we're acting silly. We're acting silly. Now the Celtics are a threat because they play hard every night. Because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they're young and they play hard every single night. Okay. Like, I just go back to it. Sixers are 3-1 against them this year. Like, why are we acting so silly? Why are we so scared? What's the old saying? Get a dog. So the caller, David, go get a dog. Like, you know, you need the support animal at this point. Scared about the Celtics because they're young too, and they put forth full effort on a given night. What if they won? What if the Celtics won? I like Jason Tatum, right? I actually was one of the people that wanted him over Markelle Fultz, and I understood the whole fit thing, but I wanted the size back then. I actually liked Tatum. And I was totally fine with the trade. Don't get me wrong. Like, I wasn't sitting here like, oh my God, what a dumb move. Like, I was all on board for the Fultz thing. But I actually liked Tatum. I said, if they go into this draft and land Jason Tatum, I'm happy with it. Because I think he's going to be a good player. We're acting like Jason Tatum is an NBA superstar. The guy brings up Jaylen Brown. What? Come on. Who's Jaylen Brown? Really? They're nothing compared to the Sixers. Yeah, they're higher in the standings. But the Sixers match up with them. And if you're only giving me effort, you got to come up with a better argument. Right? You got to come up with a better argument. You can't just give me effort. Because he even said it himself. Well, the Magic are one of the best defensive teams. Okay. Awesome. Good for the Magic. They're going to be playing golf in a few months. Because they're not going to do anything.
Well, they got to get through their complimentary four games first. When they're the 8th seed.
Yeah, like they were last year.
They
won game one. Remember, they beat the Raptors in game one. Everyone was, oh, here we go.
It was the same day that the Nets beat the Sixers.
Yes, it was the same day. And people didn't freak out as much. People didn't point out as much that the Magic beat the Raptors. People only pointed out that the Sixers lost to the Nets. And I find that funny, as always. I don't know. Like, we're acting silly. I hope everyone enjoyed their Valentine's Day yesterday. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. I'm gonna tell my horror story from yesterday. And again, I need to have, like, maybe I need to be talked to from parents of young children. But yesterday was a horror show at the restaurant I was at yesterday. Not the restaurant itself. It was the infants and really. Well, I'll talk about it more. All right, this is not a bashing parents thing because I'm not a parent yet. So I don't know. I'll find out more. In a couple of years, I hope.
All I'm going to say to your preview, hire a sitter.
Yeah, no, it's... I'll explain more coming up. Let's go to Anthony in Bristol. Anthony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Ant?
So, I'm going to talk about the guy who he got on and said that the fans are on drugs, and then he goes and says, ship out Embiid and Simmons.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, and that's what I said. I'm actually agreeing with the callers more so than you because that guy was ridiculous. So I don't think he was a real human being.
Yeah, you're going to ship out the two best players on the team for draft picks and then we're going to tank again and start the whole process over. So
exactly.
That doesn't make any sense. But I'm more so mad that the Phillies haven't gone out and did what they said they were going to do for the fans. They talked about spending the big bucks.
Oh yeah, the stupid money comment. Yep, that comment will be forever known. Everybody's gonna remember that comment, the stupid money, because everybody heard it. Everybody heard John Middleton saying stupid money, and we're gonna go out there and spend money. And they did that with Bryce Harper, right? They signed Bryce Harper, and then what? They did spend a lot of money for Zach Wheeler, right? He's getting over $100 million, so they did give a lot of money to Zach Wheeler. And then the same thing. It's like, all right, now what? Because you still need more. This team, to me, does not scream National League East title contenders.
Wild card at best.
Yeah, second wild card, right? Like, you know, I don't think the Phillies are a terrible team, But I do have a fear that come May, they're already 5-6 games out. And yeah, you could make a push. But as Andy McPhail said during his press conference yesterday, he said, oh, we'll go into luxury tax if we need to make some trades before the deadline to make a push for the playoffs. You were in the position. Well, yeah, why not make them now? But at the same time, you were in a position to make a push for the playoffs last year at the trade deadline, and you gave us Jason Vargas. You know, that's what they did, and I appreciate the call. That's what they did last year. Last year, they were in a playoff hunt. They were in first place or right out of first place at the All-Star break, and they did nothing at the trade deadline. They gave you Corey Dickerson, who was a nice player for you, but they got Corey Dickerson for nothing. Jason Vargas, the Mets paid the Phillies to take Jason Vargas. And you know what? The sad thing is he ended up being probably their second best pitcher down the stretch, which is just a joke in itself.
Him or Drew Smiley.
Which is terrible, right? There were guys out there that got traded for less than nothing. Guys like Chris Archer, Marcus Stroman. I mean, Dallas Keuchel, we talk about the Dallas Keuchel thing. The guy, all he had to do was pay money last year. And he ends up having a pretty good season for the Braves and helps get them into the playoffs. Did they win in the end? No, they didn't. But the Phillies did nothing yesterday, last year.
Yeah, I mean, Archer's the only one I can disagree with you on, but your point is entirely valid, especially when you only have to spend money.
Oh, yeah, Archer, that was
Austin Meadows.
That was before the season started. Sorry, that was
a tough sell.
That wasn't trade deadline.
But your point is correct. You know, you get trade deadline guys that are going for nothing, guys that you can buy, you could literally pay, and they're on your team. All you got to do is pay them.
Yeah, I mean, look at two seasons ago. Like, Cole Hamels, same thing. The three guys that the Cubs traded aren't in the league anymore.
Yeah, one of them is out of baseball entirely.
Yeah, like, remember, we looked it up. Like, the one guy's playing in the North Korean League.
Yep.
I'm like, and that's the thing. Like, these guys, they're not costing you that much at the trade deadline. They're really not. Like, they always do, like, the down-to-the-wire thing. Oh, they don't want to give up this much. They don't want to give up this much. And all of a sudden, a team will swoop in, and they'll give up their 20th prospect. The Mets did that with Stroman. Like, they didn't give up much. And I sit here and I go, well, like, what are you doing? You're telling us about stupid money and how you want to win championships. John Middleton was so angry that he hasn't won a title. He was embarrassed. He was embarrassed by the empty stadium. The stadium ended up being empty last year, the second half of the season. Because you told your fans, your message to the fans, if we do, we do, we don't, is we don't really give a damn about this year. And that's why that building started getting empty and quiet again last year. And the same thing is going to happen this year. Because you have, yes, a better rotation because you added Zach Wheeler. You still have those other three guys in the back end of the rotation. You still have Jake Arrieta. And don't get on the Arrieta hype train. Everyone, oh, look, he's throwing hard in spring training. He threw hard in spring training last year and was done by game three, his third start. I don't know. This organization frustrates me.
I have this growing feeling, this like growing pain in the back of my head or heart.
Should probably get that checked out.
Yeah, you're probably right. But you look at you guys like Andy McPhail and all these guys that, you know, they all have the Orioles ties.
Yes.
And I look at that Orioles team and the talent that they were able to develop. Now, they didn't win anything, but the talent they were able to develop that didn't win, at least they developed the talent. I don't see any of that progression with this Phillies team.
You hope that Spencer Howard is good. You hope that Alec Boehm is good. But again, it's two players, right?
Like, I mean, Andy McPhail talked about it yesterday. He swears that their farm system is deeper than what we want to believe.
Which is hysterical.
I see four names.
It's hysterical.
You know, I don't know about you, but I've given up on Jalen Ortiz.
Oh yeah,
I've given up on Archimedes Gamboa.
Sitting like 218.
There's four guys I look at. It's Boehm and Howard are the two obvious. I think Bryson Stott could be something.
Yeah,
and I still hold out hope for Adonis Medina.
Yeah,
and that's it.
I love how Adonis Medina hasn't been major league ready for like 5 years now.
That's it though.
And now we're talking about Spencer Howard actually being the one that makes the jump to the major leagues this year, and not Medina. Oh, we don't want to trade Adonis Medina. Well, I mean, I find that hilarious, too. It's like, really? Like, what do you
the same thing about Sixto Sanchez.
What are you refusing to give up? If the guy, I mean, I don't know. I hope. I hope. I hope. I hope. I hope. I hope. I don't know. Are you, Mickey Moniak excite you at all?
Not really.
But he's...
I mean, he's played better.
He put muscle on.
Yeah, he's played better, sure.
It's just such a... It's such a sham. 610-632-0975. We got open lines. 1 hour left. 25 minutes of commercial freeze coming up. 610-632-0975. I still find it fascinating that there's now a war within the fans right now. Two callers back-to-back said that they're more angry with the fans of the Sixers than the Sixers themselves. And then I kind of agree with them because the caller after them said trade Embiid and Simmons, both of them. Now, again, I couldn't take that guy seriously. He got 45 seconds on the radio with his friend cackling in the background. So I don't really believe him. But I know for a fact that there are people that feel about that way about trading one of the two. And we had a caller, David. I don't like their effort. They play better without Joel Embiid. Blah, 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 blah. No, they don't, actually. So, are we now all of a sudden starting a war within our own fan base? Not even with the team? 610-632-0975. Plus, I got my Valentine's Day story coming up. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking until noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.